Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 3, where we see that Daniel 9 and our study in Revelation chapter 6 gives us insight into the future events of the world. But these texts also give us insight into God's heart for His people and for all mankind. Now let's join Pastor Dave in Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 3.
Let's open our Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. I'm going to start in Daniel chapter 9. If you want to come with me, I'm going to read a few verses from there to springboard us into our text this morning. Otherwise, maybe jot these verses down. Go spend some time reading them later, asking the Holy Spirit to further minister to you their meaning. But I'm going to begin in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. And we pick up there in this place where Daniel's praying and Gabriel, the messenger of the Lord, comes and gives him this vision because he's greatly loved. And he wants him and he wants us to understand the times and seasons of human history pertaining to the coming of Jesus Christ. So, as you make your way to either Daniel 9 or Revelation 6, whatever's easier for you, I'm going to just open us in prayer and welcome the Holy Spirit just to do what only He can do. So, Lord, we thank You for this morning, God. We thank You that time changes, but You don't change. We thank You, God, that You're in this place ready to minister to our hearts, that You love us, Lord, because we seek You early, we seek You first. And those who seek You early, God, will find You, You told us. And we're giving You, Lord, the earliest part of our week. We're giving You, Lord, the start of our day. Lord, we want to meet with You. We want to know You. And Lord, we're doing along with You the magnifying and the esteeming of Your word above all else. We're not looking, God, any other places to understand the world around us and the calendar of heaven. But rather, Lord, we're coming to Your scripture that we believe is inerrant and inspired by Your Spirit. And so we ask You this morning, Lord, even if these things are foreign to us or new to us or perplexing to us or mind-boggling to us, that You'd give us eyes to see and ears to hear and faith to believe and to embrace, Lord, the truths of Your word, that it would affect how we live, God, that we wouldn't just have head knowledge but heart knowledge, and that it would drip, God, that we would walk with You and know You, and that this would inspire, God, us to pursue You in a greater measure, we pray. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for wooing us to Jesus. We thank You for what You're going to do, and we ask You now just to accomplish, Lord, Your purposes in and through this study of Your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, this is the vertebrae to Bible prophecy. You need to know these verses to understand the rest of prophecy in Scripture. It says in verse 24 of Daniel 9, 70 weeks, they are determined, they're not going to change. This is God's sovereignty on display. He says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, the Jews, that's who he's speaking of, and upon all of the holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, that's the kingdom, okay? And he says, and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So verse 24 is the scope, note takers, of his whole entire prophecy. Now in verse 25 is the 69 weeks. He says, know therefore, this is, you're supposed to know this, and understand. Jesus wept in his triumphant entry When he said to the Jewish people around him, the city of Jerusalem, he said, you knew not the hour that was upon you. And he wept over it. You should have known. You should know your Bibles. You should know what the Bible says. These things shouldn't catch you off guard. If you're a new Christian, if you're new to studying the scripture, there's grace. But if you know Jesus and you've been walking with Jesus for any length of time, you should be giving yourself to the study of God's word. Your head should not be in the sand. You should not be despairing the way that the world is despairing. You should not be this optimist that thinks everything's going to go back to normal and become wonderful once again. That is not in line with biblical prophecy. Okay, we're not improving. We're not getting greater scientifically, religiously, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, the Bible gives a different message to us. And we as Bible students, if we love Jesus, we should love his word. We should love the study of his word. We should know and understand the surroundings around us according to scripture. According to scripture. He says, Daniel, I want you to know these things. I want you to understand these things. How do we know things and how do we understand things? By the Holy Spirit. Okay, I was never much of a student or a reader before walking with Jesus. He changes you from the inside out. He gives you new desires. Ask him to increase your spiritual appetite. You should be hungry for the things of God. There should be a hunger. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for truth. Okay, so he says you need to know and you need to understand these things. You need to understand what's going on in the world around you. Nothing's changed. Know and understand that from the going forth of the commandments to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the anointed king, the prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, that's 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. So that is 49 years plus 434 years when you do the math, which adds up to 483-year period, 173,880 days. Of what? From the command of Artaxerxes to go back and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the ruins that it was in, until the coming forth of the Messiah. You do the math, it takes you to April 6, 32 AD. The riding in of Jesus. That's why he wept when he rode in. How did you not know? It was given to you. Daniel prophesied of these things. And then it says in verse 26, this is a description of the interval between the 69th and 70th week. This is where we're living right now. No one understand that. All the 69 weeks of the events that had to happen, they precede us. We're in this space between the 69th and the 70th week. You guys with your hands hanging down and you're just chilling in the world and got a lot of Jesus, but you got the world still too, you better shake it. We're right between these seasons right now, the 69th and the 70th week. He says, and then he says in verse 26, after, there's a definite article before, therefore, and after the 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people, it says, of the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. That takes us through the 490 years, a 2,000-year gap between verse 26 and verse 27 when it says this, and he shall confirm the covenant, that's the Antichrist. Okay, this is the 70th week that he's speaking of here, the seven-year tribulation period that we began looking at last week. We'll continue this week. Revelation 6 through Revelation 19, the most documented period of human history in the Bible. How interested should you be with Daniel's 70th week? Revelation 6 through 19 is a description of it. And he shall, the Antichrist, confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, that's 3.5 years in, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. That's why we say the abomination of desolation, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now we're back over in Revelation chapter 6. I suggested to you last week that perhaps this first of four horsemen, this one riding in on a white horse that brings in some type of peace that is taken, When the second horseman rides in, if peace is taken, peace must have been established. I suggested to you last week that perhaps the war described at the start of Ezekiel 39, okay, with Russia and the radical Islamic nations as they come in and attack Israel. They're right on the front porch of Israel. They're being restrained right now. They can't quite come in. Remember, I told you last week there's 13 trillion cubic feet of natural gas and oil that they know of, that we know of, that Israel is sitting on. There's a lot of reason why these two want to come together against Israel. There's a little bit of something in the way. The United States of America, Christian people that love the Lord. The rapture happens. We are all to be with Jesus. We are out of here. We are not in this scene. We're not shown up again in chapter 19. Now all of a sudden, there's got to be some type of reason for there to be this peace brought in by this first horseman. Perhaps that's when Daniel's prophecy that we just read in chapter 9 comes into place, where this treaty is signed, the 7-year peace treaty, the temple is rebuilt, the Jews are sacrificing again, the nations of the world are saying, hey, whatever we got to do here just to settle things down. We saw those things last week. He said, I saw the Lamb open, verse 1, one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts and come and see, and I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. But then it says in verse 3, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse. Remember, I told you last week, they're all interrelated. It's like a wave of horsemen coming in one after the other. This wave of peace after this great war. This institution of peace that is given by the son of perdition, by the Antichrist. And then he says, after the peace was given, as quickly as it was given, it seems, another horse that was red. This horse speaks of death, okay? This horse that's red now comes, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace. Whoever peace was there was temporary. Peace, peace, there is no peace. You want peace, there's peace in Jesus. But I'm going to try to stick to the text right now and keep giving it to you like that, and then I'll exhort you to get to Jesus quickly at the end. But he says here, there's this horseman riding on a red horse. He's coming to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill, they, not him, which is interesting. Nation shall rise against nation. We're seeing it as birth pangs right now. We're seeing it as Braxton Hicks. We're seeing it with restraint. There's going to be a removal of the restrainer. Y'all, I'm giving you scripture. I'm not just telling you my thoughts. I'll tell you when it's my conjecture, and I'll tell you when it's scripture. I need you to know and understand. The Lord wants you to know and understand. Listen, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6, it speaks of the restrainer being removed. Removed in his restraining work, not his redemptive work. Still going to be saving people. There's going to be a crazy, crazy revival next week. Because this is gloom and doom this week. But next week, there's going to be a revival. Don't worry. Chapter 7. But the restraining work of the Holy Spirit is going to be removed. That means men are going to be left to themselves to do what men have been wanting to do since the beginning of time. Be dictators. Reign, usurp authority. Reign and rule over other nations. There's going to be a free-for-all. You look at the devastation of World War I. You look at the devastation of World War II. I don't know if they still teach those things in history class. You go and type in the amount of deaths that have taken place in World War I, World War II. You should see the numbers, the downplay of it. Millions were dead in those wars. Imagine a World War III. Imagine with nuclear powers and nuclear warheads and the missiles that are available today. There's at least 10 countries with nuclear weapons today. Again, we don't know everything, but we know that Russia has them. We know that China has them, France has them, the UK has them, India has them, Pakistan has them, Israel has them, North Korea has them, and it's likely that Saudi Arabia and Iran have them. So you imagine here, several of these countries, first of all, they believe in reincarnation, so they got nothing to lose, right? They believe in reincarnation, they're coming back, so they got nothing to lose. Some of these nations that I just mentioned to you believe that if you die for the cause of Allah, then you go straight to paradise. 70 virgins are waiting for you. So losing is winning. So among these 8 to 10 nations, there's at least 13,000. And that's a conservative number. Nuclear warheads. So when it tells you at the conclusion of the Four Horsemen that a quarter of humanity is wiped off the face of the earth, I mean, it's appalling. It's crazy. There's never been anything like this in human history. If we use the number 8 billion people, we're just shy of that right now. And as we said last week, I mean, you talk about perhaps a billion get raptured. We don't know exactly how many get raptured. But, I mean, you imagine of a number of 1.5 billion, 2 billion people dead. Crazy, right? It's a false peace. So first, this spirit of Antichrist, the Antichrist himself, I believe, rides in. And his vice is deception. Then the second rider's vice is death. And it's not even necessarily that he's causing death specifically, but rather that nations are rising against nations. Maybe capital punishment is taking place. He's reigning and ruling. Maybe there's this capital punishment that is involved here, certainly international wars. Then he says, as quickly as that's happening, what always follows war, what always follows death in war is famine. Destruction of farmland, you can't cultivate the land and grow your crops, and there's famine, right? I mean, these things are, this is a very sequential, natural order of events here that flow here from John. Jesus is dictating, John is writing. I want you to know and understand. I don't want you to think now is the time to let your hair down and play with the world and flirt with sin and take church lightly and take Bible reading lightly and 1 foot in the world, 1 foot out. Now's not the time. Y'all are living between the 69th and 70th week. And if you're saying, well, what's left to happen? There's nothing left to happen. Just the last person to get saved that's going to be saved, the fullness of the Gentiles. But that's like happening right now as I'm preaching all across the globe. The word's going forth. People are getting saved left and right. So if you're like, well, that never really happens. I led about like 30 people to Christ last Sunday at second service. Whole different service in second. You know, you never know. There's a lot of people that come second that don't know Jesus, it seems, because there's a lot of altar calls that we do in second service. We do it when the Spirit leads. I do them on Wednesday nights too. So if you're like, well, at least I got, if it doesn't happen second service, maybe I got a whole nother 7 days. No, Wednesday nights are crazy in here. I just don't want your blood on my hands. I'm telling you the devastation that's coming scripturally. You consider these things. There used to be MAD, quote unquote, this mutually assured destruction policy. I don't know how many of you remember that. I remember learning about this in high school. I don't know if they still teach these things, where there was this mentality of people who had these nuclear powers, there was this mutual agreement that we don't want to let this out of the bag because countries at least 20 years ago seemed to be more rational than they are now. There doesn't seem to be much of that left today. And these constant tensions among nations, the ambitions of rulers, they're going to have their climax in this period before Christ comes. Jack Van Imp notes that 24, quote unquote, third world nations are now developing, 24 third world nations are now developing long-range ballistic missiles capable of delivering nuclear warheads. I mean, this is not unfathomable. This is very realistic. And he says, as that's happening, then I heard that there was this opening of this third seal, verse 5. And I heard a third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, scales to weigh out, to ration out food. Because after deception, then after death comes this destruction, again, of all the farmland and such to harvest crops and what we need to survive is humanity. So he says there's this black horse that rides in. Him that sat on it had a pair of balances, a scale. It seems that there's this stricter control that's setting in the tribulation of the global economy. We know that's going to happen. And I heard, verse 6, a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley. Barley's less expensive for a penny. And see that you hurt not the oil and the wine, because there's still going to be the rich that are untouched at this point. And we know that. Hey, y'all know that there's people that are buying up farmland in our country. You watch the news, read the news, keep up with what's going on. There's a lot of rich and wealthy people, and I see it as they're not going to be completely touched yet in the beginning part of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. We know that there's billionaires that are building homes in the side of mountains and securing bomb shelters, and they're going to have their want, right? These things speak of the luxuries of life. Those things aren't going to be touched. They're still going to be the rich and wealthy at this point. Just hang tight, though. This is just the beginning. People who say it's not that bad the first 3.5 years. Oh, it's bad. I see a sequential flow through Revelation. When I read through Revelation, you know, real quick before I keep giving it to you, I see from chapter 6 to 19, there's this series of seven things. Seven seals here, six, are given to us. Then this parenthetic chapter that looks back at what was happening. Then the seventh seal opens up and there's seven trumpets. You get through six, you look back parenthetically. And then the seven trumpet sounds brings forth seven vials, and they sum up all of God's wrath and dealing with fallen mankind. So it seems sequential going through. I don't have like a total grasp on all of it. There are things I read and I say, I don't get it. Like in a minute, we're going to see souls get clothed in a white robe. How do you clothe a soul, right? I know you've been wondering those things all morning too. I mean, just I'll tell you, I'm not going to act haughty like I got it all figured out, but the parts that I do, I'm going to preach with dogma and confidence and conviction, because I don't apologize for anything else that I teach that comes from God's word. So I'm not going to do it now. So there's going to be still this preservation, it tells us, just to give you an idea of the scene. Don't touch the luxuries. They're still the rich that we see before us. But listen, how crazy a denarii or a penny is a day's wage for the average working man in this time. He just told you that a loaf of bread is one day's wage. How are you paying your bills? How are you getting your kids medicine? How are you keeping the heat on? How are you doing all these other things? One loaf of bread, he said, is going to be one day's wage. The pair of scales for measuring the weight and the value of the grain, it symbolizes here the severity of this famine, its economic consequences.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.